Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. Would you just lift your hands? That's not a something that we don't do very much around here. We do a lot. So we just, it's the easiest thing for us, Father, is to lift those hands and to magnify you and to glorify you and worship you with all our hearts. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ola kala sedia. Ola mandele bolo klese beriate. Chode se valo kristeni. Ba. Adabashkele maklose. I provided for you every avenue to strengthen and to build you up and to be able to cause you to come in to more of my glory, saith the Spirit of the Lord. And even when you find yourself sometimes away from that place, know this, that I provided avenues for you to take any one particular one and find a route back into presence and grace and glory, saith the Spirit of the Lord. So grab hold, take hold, and follow me, and I'll bring you to places that you've never been before. I'll bring joy like you've never imagined that joy could be. I'll restore the joy of your salvation, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. One of the reasons why he's doing that, I was reminded today. I was reminded of all of everything that we teach and preach around here. But he's wanting to remind you like he's reminding me about all of those inroads. We preach and teach a lot about praying in tongues. And that's an edification gift. 1 Corinthians 14 says that we don't know what we're praying when we pray in an unknown tongue, but howbeit in the Spirit that we're speaking mysteries. We're speaking mysteries. That's secrets to God. Aren't you glad the devil doesn't know what you're praying? He left two entities out of it. He left you and the devil out of it. I don't know which one's worse sometimes. So I just said, I got two problems here. I'll just leave them both out. One's family. The other one used to be family, but it's best that I leave them both out of the picture for the time being. But that wasn't the only. It just didn't stop with an edifier in the Spirit. He gave us a canon of Scripture. He gave us a canon of Scripture that 66 books that has the absolute mind of Christ in it. And we teach and preach with the best part that you can do is that we just got a prophecy that Candy read a couple services ago. And I think it was from Jim Martin, but it wouldn't matter as long as we knew it was from God, and it was from God. And it was something about even the Old Testament, or I shouldn't say even the Old Testament, but it was something about the Old Testament, the treasures that are hid there. And God wants to reveal those treasures to us, because even though they're shadows, they're powerful, powerful shadows. And there's treasures in those fields. But what I started to say, 39 books and 27 in the new, this all contains the mind of Christ. It has the mind of Christ for you to build up your faith and to take your mind into places, because what I want to go to in just a moment is the deliberateness, how deliberate your walk into Christ has to be. And part of you taking dominion in your life and taking dominion over your own mind is a very deliberate thing. It is a very deliberate thing. It takes a deliberateness to take the Word of God on a daily basis and go through wherever He would direct you. But let me just suggest this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Words of red. That's the words of Christ. You go through those Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to get a powerful picture of what revival is supposed to look like. And you're going to get the exact words of what Christ, He said this, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So if we've heard His words, we're hearing the exact words that the Father has to say to us. But short books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we've taught this before in the past, but boy, we haven't said a whole lot about it presently. I think we need to say more and more. Homer's done a wonderful job about reminding us. But go to those books, those small ones. I think Galatians is 6 chapter. Galatians, Ephesians is 6 chapters. Philippians is, 4? Colossians is 4. You can sit down in just one sitting and go through those books. It doesn't take that long. But if you go through them not 5 times, not 10 times, not 15, but 20 times, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to build inside of you what the mind of Christ is in all those books. And as a result of it, the Holy Spirit takes a precedence inside of us. Listen, praying in tongues is wonderful, but here's another powerful avenue of just deliberately meditating His Word. And you know what we teach about how meditation works. But for meditation to work, listen, for something to come out of you, for the sword of the Spirit to come out of you, Ephesians 6 says this, and take unto you, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, and take unto you, what? What is it? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your what? Loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, above all what? Taking the shield of faith, wherewith is did we skip the no, but the our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked. And the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. But if you don't have the Word in you, there's nothing to come out. If you don't have it in you, well, how do I get it in you? How do I get it in me? Listen, find some psalms that you love. Find some psalms that are some of your favorite psalms. And it doesn't have to be a bunch of them. Now, this is just real practical teaching, but nevertheless, this is where victory's at. This is how victory evolves in your life. This is how victory stays in your life. Get 2 or 3 psalms that are your favorite psalms that the Holy Spirit says, that's where I've got you. And pour over those psalms. Go to them every day like a drink of water and go over them and over them and over them and over them. And if you go to find one of these small books, and you don't have to go through all 4 of them at once. Find one of them and just begin to camp there. Just begin to camp there. And let the dominion from the Word of God join in with what the Holy Spirit is praying in those utterances and those mysteries. You're going to find a 1-2 punch in the Spirit where your mind begins to be. I love some of the things I've heard Homer was saying, and I think he was saying some of this especially on those Sunday night services, and I can't wait till the Holy Spirit speaks and puts all that back together again. And it's because I was really receiving, I was getting a lot of my sermon material from Sunday nights. But he was talking about how that a lot of stuff that he had just gone over and over and over, you can get to a place where you don't even think about it when it comes out. If you go over it enough, if you go to sleep with it on your mind, thinking about it, and you wake up, see, but all those kinds of things are very deliberate. And victory doesn't just come up and seize you. You have to walk into it on a very deliberate basis. In other words, you have to take this word and you have to open it. Now, is this very practical? Yes, it is. You have to open it and you have to sit down and you have to begin to read it and read it and read it and think about it and allow the Holy Spirit to place those things inside of you. Because what's going to happen is at the moment that you need it the most, when you're not even thinking about it, that's going to come up. It's going to come up inside of you like a second nature, like something that you did not even expect. The sword of the Spirit is going to come very alive to you. Now, let's turn to Colossians 3 for just a moment. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I was hearing someone else speak a little bit on this today and reminded me of some things the Lord has shown me in the past. Well, let's praying in tongues. The sword of the Spirit or the word of God, or somebody name another one. What's one of our worship? See, what I really encourage you to be is very rounded. I'm not talking about rounded down here. Unless you're pregnant, that's fine. But be as rounded as you possibly can be, which involves praying in tongues and word of God. Word can be, Jim Martin puts, a lot of times we talk about five pillars. He talks about the four, we talk about five inroads. He talks about the four pillars of God because he just includes the word and meditation and confession. All is one, and I can see how that all be one. Because you, if it's in there, you're going to confess it. But confession's very deliberate too. Confession is very, very, very deliberate because it's something that you get to stand there against the mountain and tell it what you want it to do. Most of all the confession that you'll ever do, well, I started to say this, and then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't, but a big part of all the confession you'll ever do will have no feelings with it. It's good when the feelings come. I've found out that worship can kind of add feelings to, you know, the emotional part of you speaking to the mountain. But I've also found out, and maybe I'm alone in this, maybe you could help me feel better if you raised a hand. How many have found out that a lot of your confession has no emotion with it? Thank you. You're just standing there very deliberately. Very deliberately. Sunday we talked about 1 Peter 5, and we're not going to turn there, but I remember part of that message was, and it was talking about, the Holy Spirit was talking to us about being exalted out of our test and our trials. And the first thing that we had to do was we had to put on humility. And I said, I hope not to the embarrassment of anybody, but I said, look around, are we all clothed? And I said this, I said, we had to be, that was very deliberate. You had to clothe yourself
Because 1 Peter 5 says this, that let all of us be clothed with humility. Everything that you find out that causes you to grow is very deliberate. In other words, you have to make a conscious decision, and you have to be the one who employs it. No one's going to grow for you. The only way you grow is that you're very deliberate in your decisions. Colossians 3. I need to find it myself. Does anybody know where Colossians is at? It's after Philippians, isn't it? Thank you. Look at verse 1. It says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then the next thing it says is, set your what? Affections on things above, not on things of the earth. The word there, you've heard me mention before in Philippians. In fact, continue to hold your place there, and we'll comment more on Colossians. But go to Philippians chapter 2. It says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Let not every man, or he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then this it says, same thing that it's saying in, or same word that it's using in Colossians 2. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now that word, that whole phrase there, as far as I know, it may be just the latter part of it, but verse 5 it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, is the word phroneo. Now, if I'm not a Greek scholar, and that's probably not exactly the way you say it, it's phroneo. It's, if you're looking it up in the Strong's, it's 5426. But it's pronounced phroneo. But it means this, to exercise the mind, example, this is, or to the example of, to entertain or have a sentiment or an opinion. Again, to exercise your mind as an example, to entertain or have a sentiment or an opinion. Exercising dominion in our minds according to the Word of God, so that God is able to really use our minds according to the mind of Christ, or get over to us the mind of Christ. The word phroneo here says this, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. What that means is, and it goes on to talk about, we could read further, and it talks about his servanthood, how that he did not count himself to be, that he didn't count himself being robbed as yielding himself as a servant. But it says, let this mind be in you. Phroneo, in other words, associate your mind with the mind of Christ. That word association is a word, as I just said, it means to entertain. The only way that you can entertain something is you have to imagine it. To entertain something in your mind, now it's not talking about a work of the Spirit here. It does come out. The Holy Spirit helps you, because when you're praying in tongues, He helps you and He'll direct you. But this is something that happens to your mind. This is a willingness on your part that you have to associate. It goes on to talk about, but it didn't matter what, it does matter, but it doesn't matter what he's saying there in Philippians. We'll read Colossians in just a moment. But the point I'm trying to make is this. For you to get to the place that he's trying to take us in Philippians here, where he's trying to introduce and say, look, he was a servant. You need to be a servant. He yielded himself unto death, even the death of the cross, which means this. He lived a life of yieldedness. He said, unto death and even the death of the cross, which means this. Christ's willingness to die at the cross did not come on that day just before the Passover. He did not learn obedience 24 hours prior to that. He learned obedience his entire life. He became a servant. I should read it since I'm teaching on it. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and found himself in the fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now it goes on to talk about that God, because of that, highly exalted him. But it says that he became obedient unto death. In other words, every day that he lived, he knew that it was important for him that every decision that he made had to be in line with his Father, because he knew the process of dying to the flesh. He knew that one day he was going to have to make an ultimate decision. Listen, you don't make a decision to be a martyr and lay down your life if your whole life you've lived for yourself. You can't. Anybody that says, any Christian that you talk to and they say, yeah, I would be willing to die for Christ, just look at their life. Is their life a life of dying to self? Is their life a life of giving up whatever they need to make sure that God's will is, giving up conveniences, where they live, how far they have to drive to church, you know, the money they're having to spend to... That's dying to self. That is the practicality of dying to self. Those people that are doing that, dying in increments, that's what this saying is. Christ died in increments so that ultimately he could go all the way to the cross. If you don't die in increments, you look at somebody and say, oh yeah, I'd be willing. Everybody says they're, you know, I love Christ. I'd just be willing to give my life for him. If you look at their life, and they live a self-fulfilling life, if everything is about them, chances are, in a squeeze, with a gun to their head, they're going to take the easy way out. They're going to say, you know what? I can deny him right now, and I can repent later. Their minds will figure out a way to get out of it. You die, and this is what it's saying. Make this association. The association was this. He died consistently, so that in the end he could die completely for us. The point is this, is the word phroneo means you have to say, there's another word, another place, and it's several times in the Word of God, and we're going to go back, hopefully, to Colossians 2. Or was that 3 that I had you in? 3. But you remember when Jesus, now this is the negative connotation, when Jesus says, I'm going to the cross, and Peter begins to rebuke him, and I don't know for sure. My professor in college said, he said, really, Peter began to swear, and he began to curse, and he had just, I mean, you talk about flip-flopping. He had just, Jesus said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter, I know who you are. He said, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And Jesus said, you know what, Peter? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed this to you. And his head got so fat that he thought, now I've got God's mind on everything. Because the very next thing is Jesus said, and I'm going to go and I'm going to be crucified. And this fat head said, he said, far be it from you. I mean, he just began to really rail on Jesus and say, far be it from you. Don't do this. And Jesus knew immediately that it was Satan speaking to him. He knew that he had parroted, or that Peter was parroting what Satan was saying to him. Listen, do you know the devil will come to church? Now, I didn't get too many amens on that. Some of you have been very discouraged at times leaving church because well-meaning Christians said something to you, and if you were not discerning, see, one thing is, I don't like the devil at all, and I sure don't want to be his puppet. I don't want to speak this is a little rabbit trail I got going here right now. I don't want to speak anything that he puts in my mind that I say to you that might be misconstrued. And a lot of times that can be on the person's part that's hearing it. But I don't want to be part of anything that he's... So what does that mean? We have to consistently phroneo or associate our mind with his mind. Because if you just say stuff too quick, you know, a fast talker usually gets himself in trouble. If you're somebody that just, please, Lord, don't let me have anybody in mind. If you just talk, and you just don't give the other person time to say anything, and you're wearing them out, the Proverbs says this, I think it was in Proverbs, it says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Meaning this, if you just keep going and going and going and going without catching a breath and think about what you're saying, you're eventually going to say something out of line. You're going to say something out of, that's why it's good to stop and think about what you're saying before you say it to somebody. And we've all said, so that was a good rabbit trail. But phroneoing your mind is associating your mind with the mind of Christ so that what you say is edifying and what you're hearing. But it's an association that comes about by, as we read the definition, it's association that really comes about by a deliberateness of thinking about something and actually imagining. Now, how can I imagine what his mind is? By taking the Word of God. And also thinking about, just in that subject of being a servant, how would Jesus respond in this? How would he? Now, back to Peter. Peter says, no, you're not going to do this. And Jesus said, you are not savoring. You know what? Okay, we get the word savor. Our English word savor means you put a good morsel, a juicy piece of, let's say, ribeye in there. And for 10 seconds, 15 seconds, some of you for just a couple of seconds, it goes down so quick. You're chewing that and you're savoring it. In other words, you're enjoying all the flavor of it. And Jesus said, phroneo, you have not savored. In other words, you've not been listening to me. You have not associated your mind. And of course, we'll give Peter a little break here. He's not even yet born again, and he's certainly not spirit-filled. But Jesus said, you're not savoring what is God's mind. He just said, God revealed this to you, but that doesn't mean you have a renewed mind. Now, let's take it to us. Even though we're born again, we talk about what Peter did, and we think, well, we're born again. You can still be born again and spirit-filled and be thinking wrong. And be speaking wrong. And it's so important. What keeps you in line? This is our chiropractic adjustment, this Word of God. And we have to continually savor, or we have to continually phroné, or associate our minds. That word phroné means, in Colossians 3, it says, set your affections on things above. Setting your affections, that's the word, on things that are above, not on things that are earth. The word phroneo there, Colossians 3, it's set your affection. I think that whole phrase there, set your affection on things above. It means to phroné, or have this association. Set my affections on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, how many of you know that the Scripture says that you're dead? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, it's not talking about that you're physically dead, but it means that you are dead, and it's going to list the things that you are dead to. It says this, as we read on down, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are on the earth. And it lists fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. But now ye also have put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Filthy communication, what does that mean? It just means telling dirty jokes. That's all it's talking about. I mean, just that's the practicality of what it's saying here. But the verse that we read before this, it says, you're dead. It means positionally, the way that he wants us to phroneo our mind is, look, I'm dead to all that stuff. Well, how many of you know the Christian world doesn't look like it's dead to all that stuff? And how many of you see yourself sometimes, we don't have to have a raising of hands because we'd all be raising our hands. In all of the Word of God here, when it goes through all that stuff, of everything that we're supposed to be, I mean, we may not be in adultery or fornication, but there might be some things there that it can be inordinate affection, adultery, all these kinds of things. It says, let's get it down to where people live. Now you've put off anger. I didn't. What? Anger. Wrath. Malice. But you know, the Word of God says that we're dead. Well, what does that mean? That means that when any of that stuff shows up on our limbs, and it's telling us that we are not what the Word of God says that we are, that we are supposed to be building this inside of us. I am dead. And my life is hid with Christ in God. I don't care what my flesh looks like. I don't care what, you know, we could go around the room and say, okay, how many has lost your temper in the last 30 days? And we will just put our hands down. But did you know that it just lists that as a work of the flesh? It lists it as a work of the flesh. But it says that we're dead. Well, which are we? Because, you know, Pastor, I did cuss the cat last week, or I'm being nice. I'd say maybe it was the husband, or maybe it was the wife. But he says here, phroneo your mind. In other words, make this association. You have to deliberately say, no, look, I'm going to savor the things that be of God. And against all testimony, this is who I am. This is what I have been made to be. And do you know, as you put your affections on Him, then the Holy Spirit comes in and there is a work. Yes, praying in tongues, we will continue to do that and teach that. There's a mortification through the Spirit. There's also a mortification through the association of you deliberately taking your mind and going to the Word of God and saying, this is what the Word of God says about who I am. I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. And if you have to say that 100 times tomorrow, 500 times tomorrow, there's a continual, it's really, truly a brainwashing. It's a mind washing. It's not a game, it's a phroneia. There's so many scriptures here, and I thought maybe we'd do a word study, but we're just on the tip of the iceberg. But how many of you understand that? It's a choice. It's a place of going someplace by choice. We've been going by choice for a long time around here into revival. We just not been looking at the natural circumstances. We haven't been looking at, now this is a pretty good Wednesday night crowd. It's a pretty good Wednesday night crowd. And we had 6 people in our vocal tonight. Praise God. So we're making some progression here. But our association is not on what we see. I like the way, you know, it's not, go Kenneth Hagin. I'm not moved by what I see. That's right. Hallelujah. There you go. Say it, Marcia. She's a Haginite. She knew Brother Hagin. What does he say? How did he say it?
He says, I'm not moved by what I see.
Yes.
I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God that's real.
Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with us tonight? We glorify you, Jesus. Would you lift those hands? Just magnify him. Father, we thank you that we're going someplace. Immokalee is in revival. Why don't you say this with me? You haven't said it recently. I say that Immokalee
is
in revival. The blind see.
The
lame walk.
The deaf hear.
The dumb speak.
The dead are raised.
Demoniacs are set free.
Maimed are made whole.
We have all the money necessary
for this revival.
Thousands and thousands
are born again
in this revival.
It starts now.
It starts with me.
And I say,
among the greatest of all miracles,
right up with raising the dead,
we are able
to get along with each other
while the Father
works revival in our midst.
Threefold cord
is not easily broken.
I will not be broken.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, bless them. Send them out of here blessed. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
God bless you tonight.